Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever have trouble paying attention in church?
Of course you do. I do. We all do.
Why is that? Well, if worship is just about something we do, perhaps it doesn't matter, right?
If just worship is all about what we do for God, well, if we lose our attention from time to time, that's okay. No big deal. Because we've got lots of things in life that we do and God understands and all that.
So if it's just worship, just about what we do, probably doesn't really matter. But indeed, worship is what? Not just what we do, is it? It's about God's service to us. That's why we call it the divine service. Divine means God. God is serving us here today. Therefore, we should do what? Pay attention ever more closely to what's being said, spoken, done. Something we pay attention to. That doesn't mean it's easy, does it? There are distractions. Life gets in the way. Things heavy on our mind. People we care about, we're concerned about. Family members, job situations. Life can get heavy. It can be distracting. Sometimes it's hard to pay attention because of life, things going on in our head. Or the pew next to you. Or here we have chairs, right? The people in them. Kids might be fidgety. Somebody may snort. Somebody may sing off key. All those things can be distractions. You may not pay attention so much to what's being said, done, spoken. Or there may be pain. You may have some pain in the body, a migraine, a backache, a heartache, some kind of pain that distracts you from listening, hearing what is being spoken, what is being done. Or maybe it's the pastor. Maybe he's boring. Or maybe you've heard it all before from him, right? And you go, oh, yes, I've heard that before. That can be a distraction too. The people in the church. Oh, that elder does it that way. He sings, he's a little funny. Whatever, people can do it. Well, you know the truth from the scriptures. The devil will use these things, these problems, these life situations, these pains, these people, to do what? To distract us, to get our attention off the Word of God. Off the life-saving gifts of word and sacrament, those things that do what? Bring to us life and salvation, give us joy and hope. The devil would have no greater joy in his way to get our attention off that, off of what God is doing for us, his service to us here at church. Well, then listen carefully to what the Lord did for Lydia
of Thyatira
in our first reading today from the book of Acts. She was considered the first European convert. She's someone encountered by St. Paul and Silas and Timothy in Macedonia after St. Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come and help us. And we learn something from that, don't we? That the gospel message is something that helps people. Well, how does it help? Well, it saves souls, for one. It gives them the knowledge of salvation in Jesus, the Savior, the one who overcame death by the cross and the open grave, Easter. That helps a lot of people understand that the greatest enemy of all has been defeated and that we too can have life. We can be united to Jesus' death and resurrection and have the joy of knowing that life has been conquered for us and we have a bright future, heavenly home. That saves. That's helpful. Helpful knowledge. Helpful peace. But it also helps transform the world too, the gospel does it. It's transformed societies. How many hospitals do you know that have the name of a saint? St. Luke's, St. Mark's, St. Matthew's Hospital. All these places that help. Al Schmidt, someone, he's a theologian in our church body. He's written a book, How Christianity Changed the World. Read it sometime. Good book. And also, the gospel brings joy on earth, as we hear. It's one way that we have a great joy, to rejoice together as a people of God, to know that everything is in God's hands, and we have the fullness of all things in Christ Jesus. This is helpful to people indeed. But a little bit about Lydia now. This is a great woman, possibly a widow, named after the region she was in, Lydia of Thyatira. Lydia was a region they also called in Macedonia. And she had a calling, a good vocation, which was selling purple goods. She's remembered as the seller of purple goods. Expensive color, as we talked about. And she was also, what the text said, a worshiper of God.
And you might have to ask a question, however, is which God did she worship? It was kind of a positive way of describing her, a worshiper of God. It didn't call her some kind of heathen, some pagan or something like that, a worshiper of God. But based on the region of where she lived, you might ask, well, who did she worship? Zeus? Artemis? Which god did she worship? Well, perhaps a little clue, however, is that Paul and Timothy and Silas gathered together on the Sabbath day and gathered whoever who were together down by the river praying. That might be a clue that she actually was a convert to Judaism, that she knew the Word of God. But she didn't know all the details yet. She didn't know the main key to interpret and unlock the Scriptures, which is Christ Jesus. And that's where Paul and Silas and Timothy come in. And the great news that we hear today is that the Lord opened her heart so that Lydia could do what? Pay attention to the Word of God. A lot of people in this world are going to hear the Word of God, but not everybody's going to do what? Pay attention. Why? Well, we already rehearsed all the distractions. That can happen not just to Christians, to us, but to others in the world. This is the things that get in the way of people hearing the gospel and believing. And there's a bit of a mystery here that we confess by the Scriptures, is the only way that a person really, truly comes to believe the Word of God is how? It's by the Holy Spirit. That the Lord would open someone's heart so that they can believe it. Surely the Scriptures will say people can resist and close their heart and say no, but only the Lord truly opens the heart so they can believe. It's a kind of a reality we must confess. The Lord alone opens people's hearts to believe. And we pray, therefore, that people would have their hearts opened by God, too. What's one of the things that we sing when we come into church on a Matin Sunday? The very first thing in church? Oh, Lord, open my lips, right? We confess that right away, that the Lord has to do something. The Lord has to serve us first before we can serve Him back. That's a truth of the Scriptures that we behold and confess together. The Lord acts, and we respond. Let there be light, the Lord said. There was light. People didn't create light first, did they? The Lord always acts first. He serves, and therefore we can serve Him back. The Lord also opened people's eyes and ears in the gospel ministry. Jesus went around healing, opened people's eyes to see and ears to hear. And likewise, and therefore, we should know that only the Lord gets the credit for opening people's hearts. With ear they can hear, but with the heart they believe in the truth of the gospel. And that's something only the Lord can work and do. And so we pray that the Lord would work abundantly here on earth through the word that we scatter, that we preach as the church, that the Lord would open the hearts. The Lord would open the ears and everything so they can believe and rejoice in the salvation that we have. The result of the opening of the heart for Lydia says in the text that she was baptized. But not just she, was it? Also her whole household was baptized. We don't know who in her household there was, whether a husband or not, or children, or just other ladies or whatnot. But nonetheless, the whole household was baptized. You see how the fruits of the gospel went out beyond just to her, didn't it? We thank God that that provided an in through Lydia so that others could be baptized too and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that others would have their hearts open to repent and believe the Word of God. This is a sign that she truly believed and a sacrament that God was working in and for her. Secondly, the other result, Lydia prevailed upon Paul and Silas and Timothy with hospitality. She urged them to come. She said, if you find me faithful, come and stay at my house. And you see also, therefore, how the gospel works. It doesn't keep us all at arm's length. Oh, it's nice, I'm a believer now, and now I have nothing more to do with you. But no, she welcomed the apostles into her home. And what would that do? That would help share the message with other people in her community, that the word of God would continue to go out, to spread, that others would have their hearts open too, to believe and rejoice in this free gift of salvation. Therefore, when Lydia welcomes Paul and Silas and Timothy, who else does she really welcome into her home? Jesus, doesn't she? She welcomes Jesus. And Jesus says, if one who listens to you, to the apostles, listens to me. One who welcomes you welcomes me, we might say too. Certainly when we welcome others in Christ's name into our home, we welcome Christ too. That Christ may work his work. That Christ may open hearts and minds to believe and rejoice in the truth. May we today ask God to open our hearts and our minds to pay attention once again to the Word of God. To not be so distracted by the things of this world, life. We pray for those things, but may they never distract us from the truth. And may we be reminded that we have been baptized, like Lydia. That the Holy Spirit has worked in us to open our minds to that truth and to receive again the gift of his forgiveness, his love, all things. And may we, therefore, also become more hospitable to one another, welcoming those, helping those who have needs, and sharing the gift that is ours, the Easter joy that is yours, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his holy, his blessed, his wondrous name we pray. Amen. And may the gift of God, the peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.